You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, their ZDX is the most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today. Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earle, and here are today's topics. Drama ensues in East London as West Ham see a controversial winner ruled out and are forced to split the points with Aston Villa. Rodrigo Muniz's brace lifts Fulham to a surprise 3-0 win over Tottenham and miss out on an opportunity to tighten the gap to fourth place. Luton Town secure a crucial point in the relegation battle thanks to a late Luke Berry equaliser against Nottingham Forest. More pressure begins to creep up on Thomas Frank. At Brentford, after going down to 10 men early against Burnley and losing 2-1 at Turf Moor. And we'll look ahead to this fascinating title race with 10 games to go.
Well, mostly before we get started on those topics, we can't wait for the Paris Olympics this summer, mate, which is now only 4 months away. So we want to make everyone aware of a new series on NBCSports.com. Our buddy, Pro Soccer Talk's Joe Prince-Wright, has started a weekly countdown of the top 10 moments in Olympic soccer history. He starts with Carlos Tevez' incredible volley against Italy in Athens in 2004. But visit NBCSports.com/soccer to relive that iconic goal and stay tuned for more big moments. Number 9 is coming up next Thursday. So, Joe Prince-Wright doing some great stuff.
Lovely.
And Carlos Tevez, mate, one of those young Argentinian forwards with the likes of Messi and Aguero. And there's been lots of great talent, hasn't there, that started and kind of flourished from Olympic football.
Well, like, we laugh about it. But we do the commentary often for NBC on those games, Olympics.
And you like Cucurella. I love Cucurella.
Who's the other one? There's an Australian centre-back. There's some good young players out there. And me and us, when we do the games, and of course, a scout watch these guys, and a lot of top players come from those Olympic games. Yeah. So we look forward to doing them again this July.
Absolutely. Let's look back on this weekend, mate. Only 4 games in the Premier League, obviously the FA Cup. Took the spotlight. We're going to concentrate on the league. We didn't see many.
We'll talk a little bit about Chelsea.
We'll have maybe overview of the other teams and a little thought on the title race so far. But let's kick off with the game today. West Ham United versus Aston Villa. Aston Villa had seen Spurs lose yesterday, had a chance to create a 5-point gap if they beat West Ham. I thought this was a classic game of two halves. Thought West Ham were the better in the first half, Villa were better in the second. I kind of felt a point felt about right to me for each team.
I think that's right when you look at the way the game went. Mm. If I'm a West Ham United fan, I'm scratching my head, Rob.
Because I saw a few West Ham fans on social media scratching their head in the same manner,
because
I think.
I looked at West Ham first half and I'm like, This is the West Ham that it's really fun to watch.
Yeah.
There's power, there's skillfulness, there's creativity with Pakatar on the side, Bowen in the side, Kudos in the side. Yeah. I think Mikel Antonio brought freshness to West Ham United, got his goal. I look at the midfield, I look at Vladimir Soufal, who's like a little bit underestimated or underappreciated. I think he's a good defender, gets a lovely ball in for the first goal. And I'm like, that's good. That's West Ham. That's proactive West Ham. That's front foot West Ham United. Yeah. Right? I go off and make a cup of tea, and I miss the first few minutes of the second half. A
couple of changes.
Well, there was changes, which I made a note of.
Yeah.
But I'm like, oh, wow, this is different. Mm. Oh, right. I sit back down again. Oh, okay. So Villa, all of a sudden, from being hurried, and first off, Aston Villa's team has weakened. Right,
yeah.
They've got a pretty big injury list.
Yeah,
and John McGinn being out as well. Their team looks very different. Mm. You know, a couple of starts.
Jacob Brand.
The player,
Morgan Rogers started John on Durant. The left. John Duran started at the top. First Premier League start.
So yeah. I'm like, West Ham, that's it. Go after him. Went after him. Mm. And Villa struggled to put 3 or 4 passes together.
Yeah, couldn't get out.
And I just expected West Ham to control the game, maybe go and try and for a second. But the second half, Rob, I looked at it. I'm like, oh, okay. Villa made a couple of changes. Mm. this is different now. Mm. Why did it change so much?
So, I mean, I was going to ask you, so are you suggesting or implying that maybe David Moyes says, OK, we've got a goal, let's get to our kind of mid-block, let's say not low, but mid-block,
yeah.
Let them come out as let we'll try and win the ball and hit and on counter-attack. And so if that is the case, and there was I was following a few West Ham fans who were saying the same, we won the lot and we can't go on, right. we're not dominating the game
totally
in the way
agree.
That we should have. That's right there, Rob, is the conundrum that is David Moyes, I think, in West Ham. Rebecca asked me today after the end season, will David Moyes be manager come next August? I said, yeah, I think he will.
Yeah.
I think the quarterfinals of the European Cup, top seven, blah, blah, blah. I said, there's no drop off in Europe like they've gone out early stages. There's no like sitting 15th in the league and struggling. This guy is doing enough, and it'd be crazy actually to think about sacking him from my point of view.
The way you see him in the first half.
Yeah, but I do get the sense that still, when days like today that they don't go on and dominate, they don't continue to do what they do. I think there's almost Rob, and I wrote this on my line. I said there's a caution about West Ham that. I'm not sure why. I think maybe older West Ham wouldn't have been able to get players on the ball to go and press it. But they've got a different group now. Look at the balance of the group. I looked at their front four today, Rob.
The front
four's pretty good. Suchet can break forward. Alvarez is a good player.
Good player.
You've got two fullbacks who fouls under eight. Emerson's a good footballer. It ain't bad, by the way.
It's not bad.
But is that David Moyes' personality? Is that West Ham as a team? The way they feel they can get results?
I don't know. I mean, they're at home, they're playing great, and it was like, I just love to know what was said at half-time, whether there was a bit more of a pessimistic note from the manager, let's play a little bit
because
more.
Because we're assuming so, just on that, sorry to cut in, but it might not be that he says that.
I know.
But
why would those players drop in like that then? It's like a fear, a fear of...
Let me give you what I think might be... Let's just say, I thought Villa was sloppy. I thought the passing, I thought the press was great. From West Ham.
West Ham were great.
Everything
West
was good. I think second half, they came out. The first 5 or 10 minutes, West Ham played through the passing a little bit. Villa played through West Ham's press. He didn't go quite as aggressive. They got the ball out and they worked it a couple of times. Got Diaby on it quite early.
What, the start of the second half?
Start of the second half.
Well, I was getting a cup of tea.
Yeah, so I just wonder then if West Ham go, OK, now we know what to do, we're going to drop in.
Mm.
Maybe there isn't that belief in staying with what they're doing to get the second goal that gives them comfort. It's a bit more like, let's go back to our default mode.
And that can work,
absolutely.
Right? They can grind out a 1-0.
Yeah.
They can count it off for 2-0. But in games like this, they didn't. Mm. And from nowhere, really, from Aston Villa. I mean, they made some changes, and Zaniolo came on and scored the goal, and he's OK, and Diaby came on.
Yeah.
It was a funny team selection, I thought, with the options that Unai Emery had.
Yeah.
But anyway... Mm. I just, as soon as I sat down, I'm like, oh, this is it. And it is, isn't it, West Ham? Yeah. Once they get into that mindset and that rhythm of behind the ball and being cautious and safe, then not much really changes. And if they don't punish on a counter-attack, then they're trying to grind it out for 1-0 and it didn't work out.
But there was a couple of kind of quite controversial incidents in the game that West Ham might feel... First of all, there was the goal that went in through Mikel Antonio, having got one. He clearly hit his arm.
Yeah.
We saw that conclusively. At first, I wasn't sure, but we got a really great angle. Our staff behind us in control and picks a great angle. Catches his arm, goes in. Even Antonio actually wasn't really...
So. And everybody knows, I think, who listens and watches us, that even if it's an accidental handball, you can't score with your hand.
So that
even
one...
Even if it's down here, like wherever. Yeah.
I think that one was a given. Just before that, actually, in the first half, I think Aston Villa thought they had a penalty. Do you remember when Emerson, the defender, was playing against Leon Bailey? Leon Bailey crossed the ball. It hits Emerson on the arm. Clearly hits his arm.
Now,
Emerson's in one of those pointing positions trying to defend. I don't think he's trying to make his arm bigger. I think the proximity of the ball, again, at VAR, I think VAR got it right.
Yeah.
Another big call.
Yeah.
Little incident, don't know if you saw it. Zaniolo got booked yellow card, and then he kicked the ball away straight after.
I know.
West Ham players went running up to the referee.
So that's a second yellow.
It's a second yellow. It is a second yellow. I mean, a few months ago, when they were hot on these things, he'd have walked for that, Rob.
I know.
So that's one that West Ham might feel didn't go in the favour.
Even the handball, like, we've seen those given.
Yeah, absolutely. I said that. I'm glad it wasn't, because I think it's the right decision.
For me, he's down in a position.
Yeah, he's in a defending natural position, but it does hit his hand.
Yeah.
But let's go to the big one.
All right.
The ball comes in from a corner kick.
Free kick.
Free kick, sorry.
James Ward-Prowse. Great delivery.
Brilliant, yeah.
And then it was just scruffy City. Scruffy, flipping.
Bodies going in there. Yeah.
You got the post, you've got the angles, you're trying to figure it out. Who went in? Was it a handball?
Well, the goal was given first. Let's say.
On the field was a goal.
On the field was a goal. VAR's definitely got to get involved. Got to have a look at it. Okay.
For a clear and obvious error.
Yeah. By the way, it was like, what, 3-4 minutes?
Six-minute
delay. Yeah. So it took some time.
Yeah.
I was wondering, Rob, and I still kind of wonder, did we ever get a conclusive look of all the facts on that incident? Because a bit like, do you remember there was a goal, Arsenal-Newcastle, and there's been a couple, haven't there, where we said it's not inconclusive.
Like to change the decision on the field.
Correct. Now, where I'm going to start is, I think the first incident comes with Thomas Souček's arm hitting the ball. Yeah. Now,
how much are you sure that it did hit his arm?
Yeah, there was a good view. We got some good views of the ball did hit his arm. And there's a movement. There's a bit of like a shouldery movement towards the ball. We saw that. We see that, which is it. But what we didn't see is after, and people were saying whether it caught Bowen after that. Could it hit Bowen's leg? Or somewhere part of his body.
Well, it doesn't really matter.
If the handball was the... But what was interesting was the referee went to look at the monitor. So they couldn't definitely say it was conclusive that there was the arm movement. Otherwise, they would have said, we've done his arm. They asked the referee to go to the monitor to look if there was anything else.
A proper handball.
Correct.
So, because I think if it was that Souček, it hit his arm, right, and it doesn't hit Bowen, then we just said it. You can't score with your hand. So that's no point to go to the monitor.
Yeah, correct.
But I think there was not an image to say that it did... No, hang on. So if it would have hit him and it was accidental, it's a goal, right? If it was an accidental handball and then it hits Bowen on the hip,
then
it's a goal because he's scoring with his arm.
Yeah, but Bowen with his hip. What I'm saying.
But it still can be a deliberate handball, a normal handball.
But it didn't seem like it's deliberate. Otherwise, they would have said, "Why are they asking him to go and have another look?"
Well, to see if he felt it was a deliberate handball.
Oh,
I thought
it was more to see if there was a touch of Bowen.
No, I think they said we don't think he's touched the ball, right,
Bowen.
Bowen.
Yeah, yeah.
So have a look if you think it's a normal handball.
Yeah.
Because accidental, you don't need to come over.
It doesn't matter.
So there's a subjective nature to that. They need to take a look. And I think it's because if he feels it's a deliberate handball, no matter if it hits him or not,
it's a handball, like a handball anywhere else. Yeah.
So I think, and I was sat at home watching it, and you're in the studio, of course, Tim and the tape room.
Yeah.
And I thought you did a pretty good job. And the only thing I would say is, you know, there might be fans out here now, West Ham fans, that would say, that was tough to see.
Yeah.
We're trying to look around a goalpost.
Yeah.
You know, we're looking at different angles. Yeah. You know, then it goes into, is it clear and obvious error to disallow the goal? And we saw one early on the season, which I thought of, where they said, you know what, we're not sure.
Yeah.
We can't change it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like 80, 90% that it was his arm that went like that. But, in a split second, you know, with the referee not seeing it, nobody and the officials. I guess that's what it's there for if it was a clear and obvious error.
Yeah.
And that's the bit there where there's a tough one. I mean, just on Villa quick.
Yeah.
I mean, in first half, I'm like, they've gone a little bit.
Yeah, it didn't look good,
They're running out of steam a little bit. Yeah. We know the result from the last game.
Thought they missed the game, midfield, Rob. Thought they missed any. Just his ability to receive the ball. You know how he receives it with people on his back and then he plays off the shoulders and they start.
Yeah.
I thought Tielemans...
He's not a six.
No, he didn't work hard enough to clear space to get the ball. Yeah. He wanted to really run forward, which causes a problem then when the two centre-backs get the ball and they look up. There's no one to play off.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, fair play, though. Subs in the second half.
Yeah.
West Ham drops
off. Affects the game, mate.
Emery's got to be delighted, like, looking from the side.
Mm.
oh, wow, like, OK, well, we can play. All right, let's make some changes. And he made some good changes. And Zaniolo came on. Surprised Zaniolo didn't come on a little earlier. He went with Ben Johnson come on, didn't he? Instead of... Oh, no, sorry, I'm on the other side. I'm going to have Ward-Prowse.
Yeah, yeah.
Just so that I did have a note, like, Ben Johnson came on for Mikel Antonio.
Mm.
And I'm like, well, James Ward-Prowse on the bench.
Yeah.
So was that another... a little bit of a defensive tilt on Moyes to put
Johnson in to hold what I've got a little.
Anyway, but back to Villa's subs, yeah.
But the subs were good.
Diaby came on.
They all influenced the game. Diaby...
the Matt Cash block I've got here is a note. Yeah. What a block that was.
By the way, that's game-changing.
That's like a goal in some ways. Yeah. Zeno pokes it in to score the equalising goal. It was an interesting game of football that was so interesting from West Ham's point of view.
Yeah.
When I watched them first half, I'm like, this is good. Powerful and skillful and creative.
Challenge then for David Moyes is, it's not that we're not sure he can play the style of football. So they can continue to do it. They can keep the confidence to keep playing it. Because we keep on, every week there's a debate on David Moyes and his job and that. And for 45 minutes, we saw good West Ham. We saw brilliant West Ham midweek who battered Freiburg in Europe.
Do you think that they have a almost like a plan B? And Moyes gives it one of them. Okay, right. Let's go into our.
David Moyes is a very good football man, isn't he? Do you think you're suggesting some of this in
this a deliberate
in him,
a tactic.
Deliberate tactic to say we'll keep what
we're on
we've
front
got,
foot now,
we'll set up,
and at some point
to counter.
When I say it, or half time, or whenever from the sideline, like.
I would hope not, because I think it shows.
Well, why doesn't he get him on to keep him on the front
foot?
Well,
I don't know.
Why does he say, go on, get up?
I'm not
push
sure,
on.
But I'm saying that to me is a little lack of trust, and from outside, a little lack of understanding of what he's got now. This is a better group. This is
he knows that.
Well, exactly. But if you're going to do that, you don't naturally want Pacator, Kudos, and Bowen dropping right in and waiting and leaving Antonio isolated on his front.
They're out of the game.
You want them first off, where you see them getting the ball, making things happen, going down the side.
Because it's fun to watch.
They're a great team. They've got good players.
It's really good to watch when they do that. So, yeah, frustrating. I mean, they're still in a good spot, seventh place in the league table right now. But Aston Villa, I just looked at their starting lineup and I'm like, wow, that's kind of a drop off. And they both played
in Europe this week. Yeah. I just think with Villa, two things. You're right with the drop, and I just think there's a. I was saying to Bex, I was trying to sort of explain that. This is a new territory for Villa, by the way.
Absolutely.
Villa have been relegation fodder for the last,
absolutely.
To get that consistency in those many games and those many points might take a season or two. And if they end up fifth or sixth, fifth might get them in. If they end up fifth or sixth, of course it would be disappointing. But you know what? They have made some improvements, mate.
I couldn't agree more. And, fans and pundits and people like us, we'll talk about disappointment.
Yeah,
Villa.
I mean,
they're yeah. It's like Ange from Tottenham. We'll get onto them in a second. He said to the interviewer after the last weekend's game, "Well, hang on a minute, we're 2 points behind. We've got 10 games left."
Yeah.
So I think we all can be a little bit knee-jerky.
Correct.
So Villa are still there. Villa are right there. They're
absolutely.
Fourth place in the league
fourth
table right
place.
Now with 10 games left. I mean, well done, Aston Villa, and see if they can...
They've got a 3-point gap now, and you don't know what Tottenham are going to do. Tottenham could draw that game in hand, and all of a sudden they're in pole position.
I'm sure they want a few of their injured players back. They need to get John McGinn back from suspension. He's going to be out for a little bit now.
Two more games, isn't he?
All to play for, top four, absolutely.
Having a team feels like having your own live-in influencer. Somehow you know the latest makeup trend and the fact that skinny jeans are not the most flattering pants. Now it's time for you to show them what's up, thanks to Domino's. From April 22nd through April 28th, carry out as many large two-topping pizzas from Domino's as you want for only $6.99 each. And teach your kiddo that saving money and Domino's pizza will never go out of style. Carry out only. You must ask for this limited-time offer. Valid 4/22 through 4/28. Tax may apply. Prices, participation, and charges may vary.
Vanguard is working hard to balance opportunity and risk for investors in this time of volatile yields. We know financial advisors are working hard to do the same. Visit Vanguard.com/fixed income today. Important information. All investing is subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. Bond funds are subject to the risk that an issuer will fail to make payments on time and that bond prices will decline because of rising interest rates or negative perceptions of an issuer's ability to make payments. Vanguard Marketing Corporation, distributor.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. at participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
Okay, let's take you to the cottage, my friend, and, well, I think a bit of surprise result, and that's no disrespect to Fulham, but Fulham dominated the game, were way the better team. 3-0 victory, stopped Spurs scoring on the incredible scoring run they've been on since Andrews took over. Rodrigo Muniz continues to look a real threat at the top end of the pitch, to the point where Broya wasn't even in the matchday squad, apparently. Oh. And Chelsea, they've had to pay Chelsea more money because he hasn't played. Oh. But he's playing so well, Muniz, that that tells you it. And Marco Silva and his team, my friend, on the Two Robbies podcast, make a note, are going to get some love today, my friend.
So. I'm so pleased, right, because did we apologise for them a couple of weeks ago?
We hardly ever see them,
do we? They're not our main game very often.
Because you know why, and this is also credit, Rob?
Yeah, because
they're not going to go down and they're not going to get in Europe. So we kind of go, Fulham.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a shame.
But it's a great opportunity to take a good look at the game.
Absolutely.
A good look at the players, a good look at the team, and it's good. And there's a lot of good players. We'll get to Spurs in a second, Rob, but let's just talk about Fulham a little bit with some of the players that they've got. You look at this guy, Rodrigo Muniz, that's come from nowhere. Was it my old team, Middlesbrough?
Yeah.
I think he got
two goals
in 15
or something. 17. 2 and
like
17,
So he didn't do a lot. He's
22
Brazil.
Years of age.
I think he's $8 or $9 million from Flamengo, I think, in Brazil. And all of a sudden, I mean, was it? What's he got? Is it 7-7?
7-7. 7-7, my friend.
I mean, which is amazing.
Let me give you a little stat. His 7 goals in his 7 games have come on the day that Amanda Broya signed for Fulham on loan from Chelsea.
What, the day?
The day he's at is the star of the goals.
Wow, okay.
Competition, my friend.
Yeah, there you go. And isn't it great for Fulham when you lose Alexander Mitrovic at the start of the season?
It's a shame they've got a proper player. It looks like a proper player.
Are we, he's 22
years of age.
Do we need to call the Jets a little bit?
Of course we do, because he's going to be up and down. He'll have little spells, Rasmus Højlund and all the others. But there's talent there, mate.
He's 22.
There's talent.
I mean, if he keeps doing this, it's a shame because he'll get bought.
Yeah.
Because everybody wants a striker.
Brazilian 22-year-old who can get better.
Yeah, and I feel like Brazilians, Rob, and I play with Brazilians. I know. Do you play with Brazilians at any of your clubs?
No. Wimbledon and Brazil didn't mix that well.
I play with a couple and...
And played against them, didn't he?
We played against them.
Yeah, Juninho and
Emerson.
Emerson, jeez, what?
We had Branco, the
big left footer.
Yeah, the one at World Cup. He wasn't a great attitude. It's just not going to help my point. But I think Brazilians do pretty well in the Premier League.
Brazilians go pretty well everywhere.
Yeah,
they travel.
Do well.
They're hardworking, tough people.
For the most part,
as a generalisation.
So, I mean, he's got potential of doing great things.
They talk about him getting in the squad for the...
Are they? For the England
England, not this one, but for the summer tournaments.
Okay.
They're talking about...
Copa America, is it?
Yeah, Copa America. They're looking at him,
Wow. I just thought Fulham, what a good side, right? There's nothing fancy with their system. No. They're 4-2-3-1. Willian does his thing one side. Alex Iwobi's has proven to be a good, solid, good performer. We like Andres Pereira in midfield. Then you get the striker you talk about. You have Paulinho in midfield. It's not a bad team.
Yeah.
To that end, shall I do my underappreciated first?
This is a
Two Robbies podcast first.
A unique first.
A unique first that we're both going for underappreciated performers for Fulham.
Correct.
And mine is the left-back, Anthony Robinson.
I've absolutely no problem with that, my friend.
The commentators were enjoying him in the game. And I'm like, you know what? This is right. He could play at a very higher level than Fulham, top six club.
Didn't he?
We know he's got tons of pace.
Yeah.
He's a US international.
Yeah.
Maybe one of their best players right now, given what he's doing at the moment. We know he's always been super quick.
Yeah.
But just his development into a really kind of a better decision-making, attacking crosser, progressive passer from left back is pretty amazing. And I know I wouldn't want to dribble past him, right? I mean, he's so quick.
Powerhouse.
He's hard to beat.
Yeah.
And nobody talks about... We don't talk about Fulham too much.
No.
Nobody talks about Anthony Robinson.
No.
But they're, you know... Sometimes players can come from nowhere and do great
just
things.
Get their head down and learn his trade and improve,
and
get
pace.
Used to the level.
Learn positional as a fullback. If you've got the pace, it helps you on defending and attacking. And if you just get the cleverness with the passing and the crossing, you can go places. So my underappreciated is Anthony Robinson.
I'm all in, mate. And I'll chuck another one at you, by the way, with Anthony Robinson. Probably currently, pound for pound, the best US player playing in
maybe
European in football anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure there's many players in the US team who are playing more consistently at that level.
Right.
So, well done, Anthony Robson. Love that one, mate.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go for my old mate Rodrigo Muniz, my friend.
Yeah.
And
as soon as
we finished the show, I got in our WhatsApp group and put Rodrigo Muniz, because I knew you'd be all over him, so I got him there first. And it was just the... Because he was I did a little bit of research on him, you know. You know the game's coming up, you know he's starting, you know that he's been in the form. So you want to find a little bit about his background and things up. How hard he's worked on his game. He's 22 years of age. He's started to get maturity, a bit more understanding of his role, learning to hold the ball up and bring midfield players and take more responsibility. Obviously, scoring goals, being inside that 18-yard box is important. He was on loan at Middlesbrough. Things didn't go well.
Yeah, I didn't hear a ton of great things.
Yeah,
I didn't hear
only two goals in 17 games, didn't play all the time. Yet, Marco Silva, who's an excellent coach who deserves an awful lot of credit as well with this group, Rob, is developing a young talent who now, Raul Jimenez was fit, can't get back on the team. Manu Broglie looks like he might end up going back to Chelsea because we found one here who looks like he's a footballer. And I said to Bex, how exciting for Fulham that you've got a bazillion young starlet who could grow into a proper player.
Yeah, he could.
Could grow into a proper player. I mean, let's hold the Jets in 22. There's three or four more years now of real development. He's got to get his head down. He's got to be hitting those 15 a season, 16 a season, getting those kind of numbers, and then we can start talking. But my underappreciated performer of the week, and for someone like Rodrigo Muniz, who hasn't been that easy. He's had to come a difficult way. He's playing away from his natural home of Brazil and he's come good in the Premier League. Well done, young man. Yeah, now totally. Continue it through till the end of the season.
Exactly. Get some numbers on you. Right, we've got to switch to Tottenham, mate, because of all the games you've seen this week, I was shocked.
It was a shocker, wasn't it?
It was. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. Yeah, I saw the lineup. I'm like, wow, that's a strong team.
Good, that's. Yeah.
And on the back of winning against Aston Villa,
four goals in the second half against.
That is by far the worst we've seen Tottenham under Ange Postecoglou.
Agree.
And afterwards,
totally agree.
I think he looked a little bit stunned. Mm. I mean, he played it right down.
Yeah, he did. Understated. Yeah.
What the heck was that performance all about? I mean, where did that come from, Rob?
Well, I said to Bex, and I don't use this word lightly because we're all pros, we're all trained, we all know what's required. I said, lack of physical kind of
preparation. Yeah.
Lack of mental preparation. It looked to me, Rob, and I don't like to use this word, but it looks a bit complacent.
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
The Spurs,
I agree.
We're better than them. Look, let's look at our team sheet. Look at theirs.
Yeah. Look how we did last week.
Yeah, it was all the things that you don't see in Ange's team. The intensity, the playing with speed, the drive and desire.
They didn't play. They didn't put six or seven passes together.
It was nowhere near. I mean, Son couldn't get in the game. Madison couldn't influence things.
No.
The two fullbacks got pinned back. I mean, it was Fulham's fullbacks, Castagna and Andy Robinson, who made the first two goals. They were getting forward and affecting the game.
I've got so open.
To play through. The midfield had no control.
I mean, Fulham could have had three goals in the first. I think I text you goofing around. This should be 7-0 to Fulham. I mean, we know that Spurs can be open when their football's not right because they're so in advanced areas to make their game happen. Yeah. When the football isn't good, they are wide open. I mean, players just running through.
Van der Ven, is he so important that that's the difference? Dragosin played.
Dragosin's not nowhere near.
No,
their
the pace
level.
And that recovery.
But that doesn't explain the performance, right?
No, I'm struggling
to be able to sort of say, wow, like that, we did not see that coming at all. No. That's a real step backwards.
Yeah.
And we can say, and the commentators in the game said, like, bad day at the office. Mm. But that's a bit of a worrying day at the office, I would say. I mean, maybe that's the first one.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the first time we've stung a little bit because what we've seen from them has been great and we've loved it and they've had injured players.
Correct.
But it's so disappointing that all those guys are back. I think Richarlison came off the bench.
It was only Van der Ven who
Van der Ven's the only one missing.
One was missing
so it was just, it was very, very strange. I just made a note of some of his quotes, Rob, and I want to ask you about this before we move on.
Yeah.
He sort of said we gave the ball away a lot. Mm. But this is part of our growth, and we want to learn from it. We didn't have the same intensity, so agree that.
The
intensity.
Yeah.
I think you talked about it on the show, Rob, but Ange is very reluctant
to
talk about a target of the top four.
Yeah.
Like they say, you're such and such from away from the top.
And he said, it's just about how we play. It's more about how we play.
He's coming across, he's not interested in getting in the top four. Mm. It's more about us developing and improving and getting better.
Yeah.
Because we want to win everything.
Yeah.
We want to... And I like that.
Mm.
But
I like part of it.
But what,
I don't like it
that?
All. Yeah, I don't like it all.
Shouldn't he kind of? Shouldn't? Wouldn't
it's
you want
to
him?
Be? I mean, unless he's saying something different in the dressing room.
Yeah.
It could be the public. And I just wonder with, and I said to Bex, like with Mourinho and Conte, two very different types who come out and publicly. Yeah. I'm wondering if he's feeling this group is very different.
We don't want to put an expectation on that we're really going for the top four. Yeah. So if we don't make it, it'll be a
remember
failure.
Remember Conte, it was a very different thing, wasn't it, about the top four, and then these players ain't good enough, and I in Champions League, and it was all that. I just wonder if he feels that this group don't respond well to that, Robin.
Yeah, maybe
just
doesn't want to put the pressure
style.
On them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I do like the bit that he's, listen, I know there's targets, and I heard him say once that, you know, if you get in the top four, the season ends very quickly. Yeah. What did that do? Like, you've got to be more, he just wants them to develop and get better. And
correct.
I like that.
Yeah.
And listen, we're not going to go too far on this,
but
I it was the shocking performance of the weekend for me, Rob. And, but again, last word for Fulham. Oh. That's, I mean, they're sat, the 12th place right now. You know, if it's been a difficult season.
I mean, can they get top off? I said, you know, can they get into the top off of the table? 38 points. Can they get close
Wolves.
To...
Wolves are 41 points.
Yeah, can they get up there?
Yeah,
so 8-9, it'd be a brilliant season, wouldn't it?
If that guy... Mooney's keep scoring, why
sure.
not?
Sure, what's going on? OK, my friend, let's take it to Kenilworth Road. Really important game here. Luton, Nottingham Forest. Luton Forest had the chance to put a six-point gap if they beat Luton. Luton had a chance to draw Forest into the bottom three if they won and jump above them. Ended up a point apiece, which I thought probably about right in the end. I thought Forest had some good chances. Luton continue to never know when they're beaten, score from a set piece. There's a lot of talk, Rob, about Forest and possibly tomorrow. We're doing the podcast on Sunday. There's talk tomorrow that we'll know.
Point deduction on
Premier
Monday.
League insider David Hunting said it's possibly tomorrow. Yeah. He said, I'm not sure of numbers. But he said, if I was kind of guesstimating, he said six has always been the line for a breach. He said it might just drop to something like four for Forest. We're hearing it maybe not in the same vein, but I mean...
They're going to appeal, which we won't know until maybe the end of the season, which is crazy.
It's not a great look for Forest. It might drop them in there, but... An important point, kind of an important point for both teams, mate. One point might be the difference between somebody staying up and going down.
That's an important point for Luton.
Yeah.
That goal late for Luton to stop Luke Forest. They're absolute competitors in this relegation fight. I mean, Everton as well.
We
get a sense
of Brenton.
And Brentford maybe as well, but that goal is a big one.
Yeah.
Because there's only a point now.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was a funny game. I mean, I thought the highlight for me was the Morgan Gibbs white cross for Chris Wood's goal.
Beautiful. Yeah, yeah.
You know, because when goals goes in, you know, we always like, what could have done differently there?
Yeah,
I mean, it was such a quick cross
beautiful
in between.
Ball,
I mean, that's hard to defend against that. And a good finish from Chris Wood to put them up 1-0. Of course, Luton never give up. And you've got to love that about them.
Yeah.
I got to love watching Luton Town.
Mm.
I think they're a good side, Rob.
They are a decent side.
But
they play decent football.
They're weak. They're a little weak.
He changed it a little bit, and he had, I think it was Cabani, played as a left-side centre-back from the right side. He had Mengi and Burke as a back three.
Right. Never Burke really makes an unbelievable clearance,
by
the way.
And Mengi made another one off Elanga as well. Elanga went through and did a great defensive ball. The shape with Cabani didn't look right there. Hashioka played against Bournemouth.
I think the three centre backs has been a bit of a problem. They've been swapping and chopping and changing.
Quite got the balance.
I love the wing backs. I love Ogbeni on the right the right hand side.
Doughty came off at half time. I'm assuming that might be an injury because of what he can give you.
I just looked at them and I thought, you know what, if they had Elijah Adebayo fit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I Everybody saw so many crosses going in.
Yeah.
I know Carl Marsh has done well and he's a figurehead and he's a bit of a legend at the club and all that and he's got some goals. It's great. I just think Adebayo, Rob, for some of those crosses, some of the plays. You know, Barkley again. I mean, how good is Barkley?
Yeah,
I mean, I sat there and I'm like,
first 20 minutes of the game, mate, you bossed the game.
How about him playing alongside Declan Rice in the Euros?
Give Gareth a break. Let him get on with it.
But don't you like that, though?
Yeah.
If I go through my England team, a bit of a tangent, I think Jude Bellingham now is an attacking player, so he's probably a 10. So who's going to be your two sixes? You're holding midfield players. Declan Rice, number one. Who's the other guy? How about Ross Barkley? Oh, no, it ain't going to happen, is it?
It's not going to happen. It's never going to happen.
What a rebound in a career that's been a little disappointing, probably, given his talent.
Yeah, a little bit unlucky that maybe he hasn't found his way into this squad.
He's 30 now, I think.
I'm looking at him, 30 years of age,
His composure on the ball in midfield, I mean, I'd love watching him play.
I actually feel like Luton going down would be a loss to the Premier League, mate. They've bought something. Yeah. Do you know what? They've got their games. I noticed this weekend. I think it's 29 games now. 102 goals. They score them, mate.
42 scored and 60 again.
Yeah, they score them and they concede them. But they score. They scored more league goals than Man United.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
They play. They're way more expansive than I thought they were going to be.
They play football. Listen, I hope they can keep the race, and we'll have to see what the points deduction does and the appeals and all that. But
Forest, it
could go down to the wire, mate. Could be the difference between you being up and being down.
Yeah, I mean, Forest, they've got those 3 points, they get a little bit more cushion. They might lose them all on Monday.
But at least you've got that gap.
But they haven't got them.
Absolutely.
Close. Okay. What else we got, mate?
One more game in the Premier League this weekend. It was at Turf Moor. It was Burnley who've struggled for wins, but they did find one against a Brentford team that going in the wrong direction pretty quickly. Fourth win of the season for Burnley. Goals coming from Brun Larsen and for Fofana. Aya got a goal back for Burnley. Obviously, the red card for Reguilon as he goes through, he makes a foul, doesn't he, on the forward going through. Unfortunately, it's a penalty kick, and unfortunately, it's a dog's own. It's an island of a goal scoring because he didn't challenge to make the ball. And it was a bit clumsy, but unfortunately, the referee had to do it. So, you know, Brentford down to 10 men with, 82 minutes of the game to play. It was always going to be difficult. Did you see the disallowed goal? Ivan Toney jumped on the goalkeeper.
Did you see that?
It was interesting. Tim, again... As a goalkeeper, and it's really interesting. So I looked at it first and said, that's a foul.
That's a foul. It's a foul.
And then I watched it a couple of times, mate, and he jumps so well in his arms up. I think it's more the body contact that he hit him more than the arm.
Well, his arm was above, and Tony's body went into his arm. But they're legal uses of arms, goalkeepers. So it's like you, if you're going to clear it with your foot, and somebody bodies your foot out of the way, I thought it was a foul.
Yeah,
Tim, fair play, as a goalkeeper, and he called the one with Trafford.
The Burnley goalkeeper has had his moments with
that's
with
right, Tim Trafford. I think Tim's very much the goalkeeper's got to be strong.
Got to be strong, yeah.
And he remembers that, and he goes on that. Correct. And that's fair enough.
Absolutely. And a lot of goalkeepers do. Actually, Jay Given and one or two, Rob Green and one or two. The others all go down.
I just
the line.
Thought that was.
I think
a foul,
it was a foul in the end. But I tell you what, Ivan Toney off jump well, and the keeper comes in.
Yeah.
Listen, another day, another referee, maybe, but it wasn't a B.
Yeah.
Any worries for Brentford, mate? I mean...
You're very worried about Brentford.
I'm a little bit worried, yeah, because they're 26 points.
There's only 4 points to the relegation zone.
It's 4 points. And...
I just can't...
Leicester City were last season's team. And Leicester won't go down. They've got a good manager. They've got too many good players. They can't go down.
I think Brentford are tough enough.
I'm with you, but...
Ivan Toney is there. Yeah. Those midfield players, I like the Brentford. Yeah. And listen, I'm talking a weak argument because they're having a nightmare of a run. But I think if they had a rally up and they've got a decent... I think they're going to be okay.
I'd hope so.
That Luton and them can win enough games to even get to where they are right now. But I hear you. And it's a concern when Burnley beat you. I mean, Burnley's 17 points now.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not, you know...
They're not done and dusted quite yet. It's going to be tough. It's going to be really tough. They're going to have to go on an incredible run.
Having a team feels like having your own live-in influencer. Somehow you know the latest makeup trend and the fact that skinny jeans are not the most flattering pants. Now it's time for you to show them what's up, thanks to Domino's. From April 22nd through April 28th, carry out as many large two-topping pizzas from Domino's as you want for only $6.99 each. And teach your kiddo that saving money and Domino's pizza will never go out of style. Carry out only. You must ask for this limited time offer. Valid 422 through 428. Tax may apply. Prices, participation, and charges may vary.
Vanguard is working hard to balance opportunity and risk for investors in this time of volatile yields. We know financial advisors are working hard to do the same. Visit Vanguard.com/fixed income today. Important information. All investing is subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. Bond funds are subject to the risk that an issuer will fail to make payments on time and that bond prices will decline because of rising interest rates or negative perceptions of an issuer's ability to make payments. Vanguard Marketing Corporation, distributor.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
So that was it.
That was your Premier League. Four Premier League games. Now let's turn to the FA Cup quarterfinals.
Right. Run through the results. I think I've got a text about the draw.
Oh, okay. So the game today, Manchester United 4, Liverpool 3. I think a bit of a shock, one would say. Liverpool, the informed team, the quadruple is now off for Jurgen Klopp as he ends his days at Liverpool. Manchester City 2, Newcastle 0. Interesting to hear from David Ornstein, our Premier League insider. There's one or two sort of voices coming up in Newcastle about Eddie Howe and Jose Mourinho's been seen with some of the Saudi ownership, and let's talk about whether Jose gets back in.
Gosh.
So, you know, 2-0 defeat for Newcastle. I hope that doesn't happen, and Newcastle and Eddie Howe deserves a little more time. He's got credit in the bank. Chelsea 4, Leicester 2. At one point it was 2-2, Leicester down to 10 men. Weren't sure how it was going to go, but Chelsea get the job done. Important for them to get to the FA Cup semi-final. Cole Palmer again instrumental in another important win for Pochettino's men. And Wolves 2, Coventry 3, my friend. Which is a bit of an upset. You know, Wolves team that's flying, and Mark Robinson,
my little
Coventry
mate, my old mate, played with Mark Robinson my last season at Sheffield Wednesday. What a great guy.
What a great manager he's done.
I know.
Took him to playoffs, he's gotten back up again. He's you know, got him to an FA Cup semi-final. The last time Coventry were in an FA Cup semi-final? Mid-80s, and they won it with a Keith Houchin header.
Diving header, wasn't it?
Diving header.
I've got a draw for you. The draw is, for the semi-finals at Wembley Stadium, the FA Cup draw is Coventry versus Manchester United, Man City versus Chelsea.
Wow.
There's your draw right there. So a potential Manchester final.
Possible Manchester final, Chelsea. Possible Chelsea-Coventry final.
And I feel so bad because the timing of this podcast, Rob, we had to do something, a special kind of shoot that people are going to enjoy at some point in the future. We didn't get to see.
No, it's the first thing I'm doing when I get home is look at the Liverpool-United game.
But I did look at the Chelsea game this morning, Rob.
Chelsea 4-2 with Leicester. It seems all kinds of... It seems a very Chelsea scoreline, 4-2.
I got so many notes, I didn't even know where to start. They showed at times lovely, lovely football. Mm-hmm. The erratic nature of the finishing was so evident. Mm. Raheem Sterling.
Razzie.
I mean, he had a shocker.
Mm. He got taken off, didn't he, today?
Yeah, he missed a penalty, and it's a really poor executed penalty. Mm. He went through one-on-one with the goalkeeper and went to bend it round him, and... like a bit like a golf shot, he kind of shanked it. It went wide. Mm. And then he took a free kick in the second half, a direct free kick from 20, 25 yards out. Yeah. You know, which, to be fair, he scored last time, in the FA Cup. And he ballooned it. And I think he got substituted off, and the reports are that there was boos when he went off. Now, brilliant career, by the way, Graham Sterling. Sterling, for the most part. But he is not in his best fit right now, Rob. Yeah. But it wasn't just him, to be fair. You had Nico Jackson again doing his thing. And they find a way... I mean, the goalkeeper, Robert Sanchez, is shaky. And 2-0 up, Leicester City come back to 2-2.
2-2, yeah.
Chelsea looks so fragile. Fragile. That's how I'd describe them. That anything... That when things start to go against them, they look nervous as anything. And whether that goes back to lack of experience in the dressing room and the team to try and get hold of things like that.
Notice Thiago Silva was on the bench.
He was on the bench, yeah. There was a lovely lovely moment. So they did, substitutes were made, and Chuck Mueka comes on, scores a lovely goal, Rob, to make it
3-2. Scored a nice goal as well, didn't he? Yeah.
There's a deflection on that goal, and there's a lovely flick from Cole Palmer to Chuck Mueka. Chuck Mueka maybe is going to make them better.
Yeah.
Madueke came on, scores a goal. Yeah. We've seen a little bit of him. So it's still the same kind of thing. And Leicester City, by the way, they're top of the championship right now.
Yeah.
Enzo Maresca is doing a lovely
good job.
And I heard his interview afterwards, Rob, saying that I'm pleased that we stuck to how we do things. Okay. I think he's another one of those.
Yeah, yeah.
They have a style of football. Way, yeah. And he said, if I start time to do something different, we'll be awful.
Yeah.
So I think some of these managers, Rob, they have it set how they're going to play and they want to keep doing it throughout. So he's another one of those, top of the championship. And they look really good.
Yeah.
There's plenty of players that we know about. Ndidi played in midfield. Harry Winks played in midfield. Patson Daka is still part of the side.
Yeah, yeah.
They still got some very good players. And they give Chelsea a fright. They absolutely give Chelsea a fright.
The only thing I would say more on a slightly positive note for Chelsea is, I mean, Leicester went down to 10 men as well, which put, you know, maybe give Chelsea a bit more an advantage. It might have been different if they'd have kept all 10 men on. A Dogzo on the young defender who fouled Jackson. But they're through, mate. They're through. And sometimes you come through tough times and you're in a cup semi-final and you get to a cup semi-final and get to a final. They lost to Liverpool in the League Cup final. Yep. Can they go on better than this? Is there a way this group, Rob, and they do have days, and Raheem Sterling's a very good example of what Chelsea... Raheem, they can be excellent some days when we've seen them against some good teams in the league.
Absolutely.
And then there can be days when it just doesn't look like
happening. They look shaky.
But a young group of players going through tough times together, coming out the other side, and... Gosh, you could not imagine what winning an FA Cup could do to that dressing room. What that could do to the group, to Pochettino, to what's being built. I said to Bex, what's success for Chelsea this season? I said, success is an FA Cup and finishing 7th or 8th. That's success. A decent end to the season and a cup.
But they've got to beat Man City in a semi-final. They've got Man City in a semi-final.
But a one-off game, Rob. A one-off game that this team have shown that they can do. Yeah. Raheem Sterling's a great example. And I think about him, Rob, at times, that he's sort of player like... When I see Cole Palmer's never going to have a day like Raheem Sterling because he's got a level to get to where he'll just...
What, a technical he's got a technical level that Sterling
understand,
has.
Yeah, and so he can get back to that level if things aren't going well. Sterling can be brilliant or he can be quite...
Really poor.
Poor some days. Mm. And it was one of his poor days. And by the way, next week he'd turn out and be brilliant again. Yeah. And that's Raheem Sterling's career in some respects.
Yeah.
So as much as he's the main man there and probably one of the bigger earners and probably why Chelsea fans feel should give a little bit more, he is who he is. His personality is who he is. The player is who he is. Well, he's been a brilliant footballer.
He's scored
a lot of goals.
But they could do
a little bit more consistent,
didn't
he?
Because he's the experienced one.
Because they need him for... I hope this doesn't sound demeaning. I hope it's nothing. But Raheem Sterling is kind of... has to take care of himself first. He has to get his own game first. He's not one of them who can, like, you know, order, you know, a John Terry.
He's not a 7, he's not an 8 out of 10 every week.
So he's got to focus on getting himself to a good level and then hoping people follow. Mm. And that's where Chelsea are. It's about development.
I don't feel strongly that this is going in an awful direction with Poch. Yeah. I know the pressure's on and the fans are slow to take to him now.
Yeah.
But there's little signs, there's little moments, there's little... The goal of Malo Gusto, the little fullback like. Enzo Fernandez started playing better. Caicedo's looking... There's pockets of improvement, but they're through. You're absolutely right. Right, Rob, just to kind of finish things up now. We've got 10 games left, and we haven't had the big Premier League games this weekend.
Yeah.
So we want to just have a little touch base on where we are with the title race, Rob. And this is going to be gut, right? It's going to be gut feeling from us because it's so tight. It's an amazing situation right now. The records are so, so close.
Yeah.
64 for Arsenal, 64 for Liverpool, 63 points for Man City. Arsenal have the advantage of goal difference with that blimmin' Sheffield United game.
Yeah.
I sat in the studio and I watched it. I'm like, this is a big deal. It's like an extra point getting those six goals. What do you... I mean, let me start.
On the basis that Manchester City host Arsenal the next game in the Premier League on Easter Sunday 31st, by the way. Which those games, Rob, are probably going to be deciders.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not even going to think about the upcoming games, right? I'm going to say right now what I feel about these teams. And I feel, and we've seen blimmin' so many games of all these teams in different competitions.
Yeah.
So I feel we know the teams pretty well.
10 games left.
And this isn't going to be anything flipping earth shattering we're going to say right here. But I'm just saying that of the Arsenal that I've seen a lot of, I know what they can do at their best.
Mm.
I know when they might look a little shaky.
Mm.
I know when they struggle to score goals. I know when Odegaard and they finding those seams and they're banging the goals in. I've seen that. Mm. Liverpool, I've seen, again, those front players banging the goals in. I've seen them a little shaky. You know, they concede goals in the FA Cup today, Man United. Yeah, yeah. But at times, I don't trust the defensive side of the team a little bit with them. And Man City, you know, they are Man City. We can go on history, we can go on what we see. I still believe, all that being said, that the best team in the Premier League right now is Manchester City. Correct. And again, it's not, I'm sorry, like, I'm sure, I'm just saying how my gut, I don't, you know, the game's coming up, might favour one team or another. I'm just kind of like, and that's all you can do, isn't it? Right, at this point, after 28 games, who looks better? Who looks better? You have to consider the injuries as well right now. They don't have many. I still feel that Man City, when everything's kind of been thrown around and different results in different places and different performances, and I'll let you come back, Rob. There's one other thing I'm going to throw into the mix, but I'll let you return on that now. I still think City look the best team.
Well, we talked a little bit about it the weekend. Bex asked us about similar situation. We talked about goalkeepers and that a couple of the teams having to use their number two goalkeepers. Keller didn't have a great day for Liverpool. Ortega's been in for City. I talked about centre-forwards, Rob, and I talked about Haaland as, you know, he's been a bit of criticism. He's not quite flowing it as well as he would like. Mo Salah back in the team for Liverpool. You expect goals to come from there, and Liverpool have goals all over. Arsenal looks like a false nine, my friend. Looks like my good friend Kai Havertz might be coming good. And that's where, with 10 games to go, if he can get double figures, that might be the way.
That might be the way, yeah.
So I've gone number two goalkeepers, I've gone centre-forwards, and then I'm going to go up the guy sitting on the touchline.
Okay.
And the history tells me that the reason I can't fully commit to Arsenal right now is we still don't know. We've still never been there. And the history that we've been there...
It's his first manager job.
It's his first job. It's his first big rodeo where they're in it, Rob, in a 3 years later, they tend to go. And they have learned, and they're better from last year. They're more mature from last year, but there's still a bit of a question mark. Jurgen Klopp, if they go down the track and there's two or three games left, he's going to handle it, Rob. He knows how to handle the media.
Course
he knows
distance.
How to handle his team. And the other fella, Pep Guardiola, is the master who does it. And there's a reason why I say, Rob, I picked Manchester City at day one. I'm picking Manchester City with 10 games to go. And I think come May the 19th, I'll be saying Manchester City are Premier League winners.
Let me chuck this as a curveball.
Go on, then. Let's have
the Champions League draw just happened.
Champions League draw. Interesting. Robbio. Okay.
Arsenal playing Bayern Munich.
Yeah.
Two legs.
Yeah.
Two games.
Yeah.
Could be really, really difficult, demanding, physical, difficult, emotional games.
Okay.
All right?
I hear you.
Man City play Real Madrid.
Yeah.
Two legs. The winners of those games play against each other.
Yeah.
So if Arsenal find a way through and Man City find a way through,
they've
got to play them again.
Yeah.
In the semi-final.
Yeah.
Two legs.
Yeah, yeah.
Two difficult games.
Beautiful.
A huge trophy to go for.
Beautiful for us neutrals, my friend.
If there's one thing that we've learned in the game, Rob, watching it, is that the big teams after Champions League nights... often, not always, struggle in the Premier League the next weekend.
Yeah.
Liverpool are in the Europa League.
Yeah.
And if push comes to shove, are they going to put their strongest team to risk a Premier League result? I feel like they might rotate a little bit. I think they did in the last game.
Yeah.
That might give Liverpool
a little nudge. Balance,
because of those Champions League difficult games for Arsenal and Man City.
The only thing I would say to that point, to your curveball, and it's an interesting point because Europe does have a bearing.
It does have a bearing.
Manchester City, apart from last season, have never won the Champions League. They've had a disappointment. Yet they've gone on and won titles. So they've shown they can manage this one. One of the questions
but
I saw
easily.
You...
It's not easy to manage.
It's not easy, but they have done it. What? And I thought where you're going was, how does Europe affect it? Does going out of Europe, what does that do?
I wasn't thinking of that
side
of
things.
Yeah, but
what would that do to... If Arsenal got
drive
beat...
It would drive me to a title. Premier League title.
But if they stay in it, does it become a bit of a distraction?
It's not a distraction. It's just exhausting. It's exhausting, isn't it?
I think there's a couple of ways of looking at it. That's an advantage
for Liverpool, given that draw.
The Europa League?
Yeah, because they want to have to... They don't... Well, they're a little easier games anyway.
Yeah.
But if they the big prize for us is the Premier League. For Arsenal and Man City, they've got to go for the Champions League as well, equally. And with those difficult games, they've got to go to whoever it is, and I haven't got a big old list here, but they are always difficult. And Liverpool can just rest a little bit or have a little bit of an easier game or rotate their star players because they don't really, really need the Europa. They'd have a Premier League. They'd love to have a Premier League to be the highest.
Let me ask you one question that came out this weekend. We were talking with one of our staff who's a massive Arsenal fan, and I chucked out and I said, if you can only win one, Champions League or Premier League, which would you prefer? What's the answer?
I think he said... That's a great question for Arsenal, given what they've done in the past. Yeah. I think he said the Premier League. What did he say?
He said the Premier League.
Yeah.
Just 20 years since they last won it.
It's such a... That's the
you know what he said was, you can win the Premier League and you don't have to be the greatest team. You can win the Champions League, sorry.
With the knockouts.
With the knockouts thing. You can't... There's no luck in winning a Premier League.
Not really.
Not at this level. Yeah. Not with these kind of teams. Not with these kind of managers and this kind of quality.
Yeah.
20 years since they last won one.
Yeah. I mean, the Premier League, and people might find that difficult to believe because the Champions League is so prestigious.
But the
reputation, the power of winning, being a Premier League champion is very big in England, isn't it? It's very, very big.
We've got 10 weeks to lap it all up and drink it in.
And be proven wrong multiple times.
Always be proven wrong. There's going to be games, as we say, big game coming up. Listen, that's it for match week 29. And there's just 4 Premier League games. FA Cup quarterfinals taking centre stage. At the bottom of the table, Luton and Forest, they share points in a 1-1 draw. Spurs tripped up at the Cottage and Villa couldn't make the most of that Tottenham loss. They had to settle with a point at the London Stadium. We're going to take a well-earned break for the international break that comes up. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time. March the 31st is Sunday, Easter Sunday, when arguably one of the biggest games of the season, Manchester City host Arsenal at the Etihad. First place, third in a big draw in the title race. But for now, I'm Earl. He's Musty, together with 2 Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe, stay healthy. It's a good night from me.
And it's a good night from him.
Good night.
Vanguard is working hard to balance opportunity and risk for investors in this time of volatile yields. We know financial advisors are working hard to do the same. Visit vanguard.com/fixed income today. Important information. All investing is subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. Bond funds are subject to the risk that an issuer will fail to make payments on time and that bond prices will decline because of rising interest rates or negative perceptions of an issuer's ability to make payments. Vanguard Marketing Corporation, distributor.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.